excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Turning our way, and our way
on the road again. Welcome to this Arizona State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from Tempe, Arizona to California. Well, the Bears pulled it out. I know that those who were following the live blog were full of angst and fear and disgust and confidence that it would be another heartbreaking loss for the Bears. But in the end, they pulled it out. Riley managed to find his rhythm again. The receivers did a great job of finding the open holes in the zone. And Tavecchio put it right through the uprights this time after having missed it before. And if there was one big theme to the post-game press conference and interviews, it was how happy they were about both of those things. That they had the drive, that they did the drive. In fact, they did the drive twice because Tavecchio missed it one time and then they did it again. And that Tavecchio made it the second time, that he was given a second chance and he delivered. And then kind of the third piece of the puzzle of what everyone was so excited about was that the defense came up with the stop. There have been previous games where the Bears needed that big stop and they didn't get it. And boy, they make it dangerously close this time with that third down run. I mean, it was close, but they got him down and got the ball back and drove the field. So definitely it's a huge win for the Bears. Not because they beat a middling Arizona State. I mean, really, that of its own right is almost to be expected. And if this team is really going to deliver on its hopes for the remainder of the season, they need to play better than they did against Arizona State. So it's not big because they beat Arizona State. This is not like what happened up in Eugene on Saturday, where Oregon basically turned the Pac-10 upside down by destroying USC. And something about those two teams, they can never have a close game. They're the antithesis of what traditionally has happened in the Cal-Oregon game, where it's always tight. USC and Oregon, they have blowouts back and forth. I mean, last year, USC just destroyed Oregon. I mean, it was amazing. And then the year before that, Oregon laid the wood to them pretty strong, too. It wasn't like this year, but they beat them by more than one score, and it didn't seem all that in doubt. And the year before that, again, they got demolished by USC. So, really a back-and-forth game, very unlike Cal's series with both of those two teams, which generally are very close games with the exception of this year. And I think that's a big part of the reason that everyone was so distraught. They're so used to the Bears, yeah, not winning necessarily all the time, but at least being competitive against USC and winning their share against Oregon, and to have two games where it wasn't even close was pretty disheartening. But enough of the disheartening. The Bears won this week, and we're going to be happy. And as I was trying to say before I let myself rat hole down into an area that isn't what I was trying to talk about, it's big for the team because it's that close win. I mean, the Bears have won their fair share of games where they just laid the wood to the opponent. And they've had those games where they've come out early and they've hung on. But there's been very few games in the last handful of years. Pretty much going back to that 2007 game against Oregon, where they've been able to come from behind. They had their chances ever since that collapse in 2007. They had their chance that year against UCLA and Arizona State and Stanford. And Washington actually handled them pretty good, so they didn't even really get a shot at it there. But, I mean, they had their comeback opportunities that could have salvaged that season, but they didn't deliver. And then the same thing was true last year. Sure, they were 9-4 by the end of the year, but if they were going to win, it was because they got out early and they held on. Sometimes they might let somebody come back and get tied, but then they'd just ramp it back up and go again. They'd never get behind. And when they did get behind, like with USC and Oregon State, when they had those opportunities in the fourth quarter to get back in the game, they couldn't deliver. So I think this game was huge for them, and I know it is actually, because the coaches were saying it, the players were saying it. I mean, you could feel the relief and the joy in their voices and in their aura and their how they were carrying themselves. It was all there. They just were so happy to get that win that they've been aching for years now. And they did it, and Riley proved he could do it, and the receivers proved they could be a part of it, and the defense did their part, and it all came together. And I think it's going to be a huge confidence boost for this team in so many different ways. And I think that's the real big win from this. It's not that they beat Arizona State. In fact, this game should not have been close. And I'll get back to my frustrations in those areas, but it really shouldn't have. The way the game went in the first quarter should have how it went in all four quarters. But the offense got very ineffective. The defense made just enough stupid mistakes. And then in the third and fourth quarter, they somehow got fatigued when Cal dominated the time of possession in the first half and still did pretty well overall. I mean, it was basically even in the second half. So why are they getting fatigued? You know, it's just really odd. But again, before I go down into all those things, just to kind of stick with the positives, maybe I should do a recap. I always try to remember to do it, and I never end up doing it because I get carried away with one thought or another. Bears started off the game real strong, up 14-0 in the first quarter. And things were looking really good. However, ASU started shutting down the offense in the second quarter, and Cal gave up really two key plays. The first was after having forced a fumble in the red zone and preventing ASU from scoring. On a possession, I got the feeling ASU wasn't going to get in, that they were going to be held to a field goal, just the way the defense was playing. But then just a handful of plays later, Riley was stripped of the ball for the third time in the game, actually, and gave ASU the ball back. And I don't think the defense was ready to go back on the field, so one score later, boom, touchdown, it's all over. So that really hurt, that fumble by Riley, and was those one or two plays that really got them back into the game. And then not long later, just 3 minutes later into the game, a huge coverage breakdown in the secondary, giving up a remarkably easy 80-yard touchdown pass where, according to Gregory, too many people bit on the play action and lost their coverage assignments as a result. So that tied the score up at 14-14, but you still had the feeling at that point that the Bears, you know, they were starting to struggle a little bit on offense, but they were going to get things going again. It was just two lucky plays, so, you know, you figured they'd do well. And they did get a field goal before halftime to go up 17-14 at the half. But the game really broke down in the second half for the Bears. They managed a field goal midway through the third quarter, but really, overall, looked pretty ineffective. And you could see the ASU defense, although they were pretty ineffective too, you could see that they were slowly starting to get some rhythm back. And the part that started to get really distressing was early in the fourth quarter, their run game kind of took off. And they were getting runs in those 5-yard, 6-yard chunks. And I think what was most distressing is we kind of knew that that meant that if ASU got the lead, they were just going to be able to grind it out and win the game. And there was enough time left that they could use the run game to get that score. So it really was a worrisome situation. And sure enough, with 10 minutes left in the game, they pounded in and go up 21-20. The Bears then did get back on things and drove down the field, got in field goal range with about 5 minutes left, and Tavecchio missed a 39-yard field goal. He pulled it just a little bit. I couldn't see by how much, but it wasn't a lot. Giving Arizona State the ball back with 5 minutes left. The Bears then forced a key three and out, and the big thing was they gave up 5 yards on first down, but on second and third down, they held them to 2 yards each time and forced the punt, then took the remaining 3 minutes to drive down the field. We're really in position to score with a touchdown, but went the easy route and trusted Giorgio, centered the ball on third and goal from the 5 to give him what Tedford called a long extra point. Tavecchio delivered, and the Bears went up 23-21 with 21 seconds remaining. ASU then got a pass off for 25 yards to get into Cal territory, but with only 16 seconds left after the squib kick, that took it down to 5. It was a 11-second play, and that meant they didn't have time to try to set up one more play to get in field goal range. So it was the Hail Mary attempt, which never even got off. Alualu, who's just a monster in the second half, he might be the best conditioned defensive lineman in recent Cal Bear history. He's good in his own right, but what makes him great is he is relentless, and you can see him coming on stronger and stronger in the second half. But in any case, he got in Sullivan's face, forced the intentional grounding, and the game was over, and the Bears win. So there's your not-so-short-after-all recap. Some other notes from the game, statistics-wise and the such. The Bears really did hold on to the ball a lot in this game, and that's why the fatigue thing really surprises me. They had 75 plays to ASU's only 56, total of 408 yards to their 329. Riley was an acceptable 27 of 45, which actually was pretty good considering how little help he was getting from his offensive line. ASU was in the backfield all day long. Sullivan, ASU's quarterback, actually didn't do too horrible himself if you forget the two interceptions. He was 17 for 30. Those two interceptions, though, really hurt. One of them was kind of like a punt, and Sid was able to return that punt for quite a number of yards, though. The other was actually just bad luck. It was the right throw to the right person, and Josh Hill did a great job of getting his hand in there to break it up, but the way it happened, it flew in a direction where Eddie Young was able to dive and catch that interception. So you can't hold that one against Sullivan. So he had a mediocre to almost acceptable kind of day. Who did not have a good day was the Cal rushing attack. As I said, that offensive line was really being dominated by ASU's defensive line. In fact, Tedford said that we were losing the line of scrimmage battle on both sides of the ball. And you could tell that in his voice there was both concern about that and a sense of pride and accomplishment that they managed to come up with a game plan and execute it on that game plan, knowing that that was going to be a problem, and still won the game despite losing what he says is probably the most that just after the turnover battle, the most important battle to be won. But the Cal rushing attack was only 57 yards. ASU only gained 82 themselves, so as much as they started getting pretty big chunks in the second half, the first half was so abysmal that it didn't end up being very good. Now, they did get 3.2 yards a carry, which is not good at all, but a lot better than Cal's 1.9 yards per attempt. The big herder for the Bears, statistically, was the fumbles. Put 4 on the ground and lost 2 of them. 3 of them were put on the ground by Riley, and he was pretty upset with himself about that after the game. I mean, you know, here he is. He's just, you know, won the game, had that comeback that every quarterback dreams about, and yet he specifically spent time to talk about how that was unacceptable in his interview time. Anger had another good day. He was averaging 53 yards a punt and 47.8 net, 3 inside the 20. And so when you're averaging over 50 and you're still putting them inside the 20, because generally that means you had a few punts where you couldn't go as long as you want, and so you had to take a little bit off of it. And then he included that one exceptional punt that bounced. I mean, there was a little bit of luck in it, of course, but it bounced at the 7-yard line, took a right turn like a sliced ball in golf that lands on the green and went out of bounds inside the one. It was actually disappointing that the Bears weren't able to really stick it to ASU and hold them deep in there. Kickoffs, another area that the Bears improved. Their average was 59.7 yards, so that means it was just outside the 10. They're kicking from the 30, just under 60 yards, puts you just outside the 10. But a lot of them were inside the 5, and I think that one that was penalty shortened hurt Tavecchio's average, and then D'Amato had a pretty short one too. So I think Tavecchio, actually, if you take away the one that was short, and you take away D'Amato's from him, he probably was averaging closer to 65 yards at kickoff, which is great. That's the number you're looking for. You're looking for 65 plus. So that was exceptional. What was not exceptional was the average field position we gave ASU. Looks like, I think I'm reading this wrong, but I think they got the ball. No, I can't be right. ASU got the ball out to the 32-yard line on average, and that's really not good enough. You want that number to be ideally inside the 25, but at least inside the 30. So we're still having trouble on the kickoff coverage. No big breakers this time. It was kind of consistently mediocre as opposed to inconsistent, some good, some bad, but still not the sort of thing you're hoping for. And the Bears were 4 out of 5 in the red zone, two of those being touchdowns, two of them being field goals. Only 3 for 5 on field goal attempts, which that was a little troubling. I mean, as much as it's great to see Tavecchio kick the game winner, you still want him to be making more than 3 out of 5, particularly since he made the long one. I mean, it's not like he was kicking a bunch of long ones in this game. They're all makeable ones that he missed, so that's frustrating. And the third down conversions weren't very good at 5 of 16, and that's what happens with all those third and longs. It's not a horrible number. You want that number to be up in the 8 out of 16 kind of range to be feeling good about it. But they also held ASU to 4 of 12, so those are the statistical numbers for the team. Now, in individual stats, Best only got 63 yards. He didn't have any losers this day, which was nice to see. So those were all positive yards. Vereen actually didn't carry the ball much, and so that explains why. Yeah, he only got 2 yards. Javid was also our best receiver with 7 catches for 61 yards. And then both Ross and Jones had pretty good days. Ross with 3 catches for 67 yards, and Marvin Jones with 4 catches for 58 and a touchdown. So the real, actually nice thing there in the thing is the consistency. We've got 4 to Jones, 3 to Ross, 3 to Miller, 3 to Loggeman, 3 to Tucker, 2 to Vereen, 1 to Holly, and 1 to Boateng. I mean, that's great spreading it around. That's what you want to see. And I already talked about punting and kickoffs. Those pretty much individual things, even when it's done for the team. So now some more breakdown on the game. And can you tell I've got a long drive, so you're going to listen to a long podcast. Apparently you guys don't mind these long ones because Jason and I rambled on for an hour and a half last week, and you guys seem to all listen to it. So I'll keep going today, and we'll see how it goes. But I really am concerned a little bit about the inconsistency of this offense, and to see how much it struggled through that second and third quarter really bugs me. If there's one big negative to take out of this game, that's it. Holding Arizona State to 21, I'm happy with that. The fact that the run game was starting to get a little too good for Arizona State doesn't bother me a ton when I factor in all the parts of the equation. But the big thing is this offense gets into these ruts. And I think a real big part of it is the offensive line is not getting the job done. And when that happens, it affects everything. You know, Riley actually did a great job of scrambling and getting away and finding receivers and doing all those sorts of things, but you just can't count on that all game long. You know, it'll save you in a few situations, but if you want the consistency – that you need. You can't have that all the time. Now, the refs called a very tight game penalty-wise, and it seemed to really affect the Bears most in that second and third quarter. And there were two or three drives that were just demolished by penalties. And I'm not sure all of them were really good calls either. Just the refs seemed to be playing it very tight. Fair, they were the same with both teams. This was not a case where you feel like we got the short end of a stick. It was just relentless. I mean, everything, they were just picking on everything. And I really want to go back and watch that face mask on Marvin Jones, because I can't have seen how he really had an opportunity to give him a big face mask. So that's one I'm going to review on film. But still, when the offensive line, see, there I go again, off into my asides. When the offensive line can't get it done, it affects everything, because the running game doesn't work no matter how good Javid Best is, if there's no holes for him to run through. And he played pretty good considering. He was hitting hard, he was finding the holes, he was extending. I really liked what I saw out of him, but at the same time, there wasn't much there for him, and he got bottled up again and again and again, and that offensive line is just not blocking like it needs to. And then the same is true in the passing game. Riley was constantly having to evade the rush. He was constantly having to avoid the pressure. And I'm looking at the numbers here. Did he really not get sacked? If he did, that was remarkable. I know that ASU got sacked at least once. So that was 3 for 19 yards. So the fact that Riley didn't get sacked is a remarkable performance by him, of evading the tacklers and throwing the ball away when needed. And, you know, what a great job by him. So, and even if it had been the 3 for 19, if for some reason those are switched and not quite right, that still is not bad considering how porous the offensive line was. And, I mean, it was really killing the Bears. And that's what I most worry about with 3 of the 4 games remaining. Washington, I don't think, is that strong on the line play that it's going to matter. It'll be more like Arizona State, at least from what I've seen of them so far. But Oregon State, although not as good on the defensive line as last year, they always play well on the line. That's how they win. Arizona, I'm expecting a strong line performance out of them. And then Stanford is all about, particularly, their offensive line. So I guess maybe that's not that bad for our offensive line, but their defensive line, you know, feeds off of that. So the Bears really need to do something with their offensive line, and I think maybe the upside here is that the Bears are learning ways to deal with this weak offensive line, but it really is the crux of the offense and why the offense is not performing up to the standard that it should be, and particularly the consistency that it should be. It breaks big plays because the line will get it right once every third or fourth play, and then you multiply that by enough times, and the talent and speed that's on this team, eventually they're going to break a big one. But it's just not enough, and it means inconsistency and relying on the big play. And guess what? Good teams don't give up the big play consistently. So, I mean, that's why Cal did not score against Oregon, minus the gift field goal off the turnover, and that's why they only had the one drive for the field goal against USC. So, it really is about that offensive line playing better, and it hurts to lose Matt Servers Gavin, who's much better than Boscovich, and the rest of the crew just needs to keep getting better. Tepper actually has not been playing up to his expectations of himself, the way he talks in his interviews, and what the press and everyone has expected of him. He's really been mediocre, and Schwartz, I think, actually is doing a better job at tackle. So it's just not been a good year for the offensive line after we were hoping they would kind of get their act together this year. The good news is they're mostly young. I mean, we're losing Tepper next year, and Teofilo, who's playing as a backup right now to Cheadle. So this unit will continue to get better, I think, but it's really hurting them right now that their youth and inexperience. So hopefully we'll see them improve as the games go by, but they're still a big part of the reason that offense, in fact, the main reason that offense is not delivering consistently. Now, the defense, I felt like overall they did pretty good. The one thing was, you know, that third, fourth quarter, they looked like they were getting fatigued against the run game, but they haven't seemed to have that problem consistently, so I'm not going to hold it against them quite yet and just say maybe it was the way the chips fell on this particular day. So, for the most part, you know, they were dealing with their offense going three and out again, and they got back on the field. And they did the same thing to ASU. Now, they had a little bit of an easier time than it would seem because of, again, how tight the refs were calling the game. And that was really stalling the ASU offense, just like it wasn't helping the Cal offense either. But overall, I thought their performance was acceptable. And if the offense had more consistently held on to the ball and scored, I think they would have even had a stronger performance than they did. So, I think those are the big things going on. And this team is in a position where they can win all of their remaining games. I'm just not convinced that they will. They're going to need a better performance than they had against ASU to beat pretty much all of the remaining teams. They probably can get away with that with Washington, but it's going to be tight. But Oregon State, Arizona, and Stanford are all teams that are doing pretty well right now. They look to be that second tier set of teams which Cal wants to be on top of. We're clearly in the mix. Those four teams, Stanford, Arizona, Cal, and Oregon State. But we're going to find out. And it gets a little bit more tough. Luckily, the games are at home. The two of these three games are at home, which I think will really help. The Bears do always play better at home. Speaking of which, one thing that definitely was nice for the Bears is not having to deal with that loud of a crowd. Now, it was a lot quieter in the press box than it seemed because it was a sealed air-conditioned press box. So we were kind of insulated from the noise. And when we went down onto the field at the end of the game, you could see that it was a fair bit louder. But that was after ASU had taken the lead and the crowd had gotten back in it. For most of the game, I think they were a lot more quiet. And official attendance was 43,659. And there weren't that many people there. They count tickets that were sold that people didn't show up. So if there were 35,000 people there, I was surprised. And I think that really helped the Bears. It definitely wasn't a home field advantage. There was, you know, not many Cal fans there, but they didn't have to deal with a loud crowd. And I think it's going to be we're going to see that for actually the rest of the season, with the exception of possibly Washington, the most beatable team left. Because Stanford's going to only bring 35,000. There's going to be 15,000 Cal fans there. And the other two games are home games. So from that perspective, things are looking up. I think these teams are a little tougher. But, I mean, these are winnable games. These are games that you look at and you say, the Bears can do it. It's just a question of will they deliver. And they need to get over their inconsistency problems, and they need to have particularly better offensive line play. But you got to finish off a game like this and its podcast in a positive note. So I'll go with the aside of the experience for me of watching that. See, I've gone to a fair number of road games. You know, as far as reporters go, not that many, because I've only done this over four seasons, and in both 2006 and 2007, I only did a couple of games. So, but through all of that time, the Bears have struggled on the road, and I haven't seen that many wins. But when I have seen a win, it's always been one that was fairly decisive, and the Bears won right out. So, for those who don't know, the way it works is you stay up in the press box and you do your things, and then with 5 minutes left in the game, or thereabouts, you find a convenient time to run down. It's really actually, from the big picture, surprisingly chaotic and inefficient, but everyone just kind of tries to get to the elevator and run downstairs. And these are people who are reporting on the game. You know, they miss what could be a very important part of the game, you know, with less than 5 minutes left. I mean, as an example, that third down stop that the Bears came up with, one of the guys who I was going down with saw the big mass of him run into the line in that big mass, and he ran into the elevator, and he didn't even see that the runner bounced outside. And I had to tell him in the elevator that that's what happened. So, anyway, but the point is of all of this is that you end up on the sideline for the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And so I've been at the games where I've heard the Cal fans cheering and stuff like that. But it's never been that moment where they won the game. There's that score that won the game. In fact, the one game that would even be close to that would be Oregon in 2007. And ironically, in that game, I got so enraptured with what was going on, I forgot to go down to the field and ran down to the field after the game was over, which, you know, isn't the worst. It takes them enough minutes to get the players and the coaches ready to talk that I don't know that it's all that bad to stay up there. But that's yet another aside on this longer than usual, because it's a longer than usual drive podcast. In any case, so this was the first time that I've really experienced that thrill of winning the game from the sideline. And boy, is that a feeling. I mean, wow. I mean, really, I think to really understand how much this game means to the team, you have to have experienced that. And it was big. They had been driving and driving. And one other aside, you know, I've talked about how Arizona's fans are the most rowdy and mean and nasty-spirited fans that I've seen. And they keep their title, but there's something in the water in Arizona because Arizona State's number two. And they just seem to have this knack down there of, it's not the loudness. When you go to Eugene, it's just loud, but it's the architected noise. It's not a bunch of drunks insulting you for 3 hours like it is in both the Arizona schools. So, I mean, we're sitting there and they're yelling at the refs, and there's something about it that they pick their turns and they yell individually, so you can hear individual people insulting the refs and insulting the Cal players and things that you just don't hear at other stadiums. So anyway, so you're down on the sideline, you're hearing all of that. It's funny, you know, there was like that flag that went against Marvin Jones. Well, they thought that was pass interference, so they're just berating the refs, and then it turns out, no, it's on Jones, and they all cheer, and they're all excited. But then it's right back to berating Cal fans and players and everything. But Cal keeps marching down the field, and you just really have to feel that emotion of he's trying, and the fans are all teed off, and where's our timeout? And they're just yelling and screaming, and then the field goal is kicked, and the crowd goes silent, and you hear 500 Bear fans in the stands cheer, and you can't have heard them at all for the whole rest of the game. It was just that moment, and it was truly a euphoria kind of moment, because the players on the sidelines are feeling it. It just changes everything. You went from this chaos and hatred and struggle and everything to joy in one moment. It's indescribable. And I think this win is going to stick with them because of that feeling that they just normally don't get in a win where they blow it out. Because then by then all the fans have gone home, nobody cares anymore, clap, 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 game over. But a game like this, it's just so different. And to experience it on the sideline, you know, obviously I've experienced plenty of games from the stands to know what that's like, and I've had my share in the press box, but it is so different on the sidelines than it is in either of those other two places. And that emotion is going to stick with the Bears. And that's why this is a big win, because they felt that and it's wonderful. And I wasn't going to go down this aside, but just to stick back at it, of course, then the Arizona State fans, after the game is over, go back to berating all the Cal guys, and it's like a pastime. Every other place everyone leaves, they stick around for a half hour to berate people. And not just the players. The poor guy who's got the boxes full of equipment that he loads up after the game, he's wheeling it off. And there's some guy with his head over the fence yelling at him. And he's like shaking his head like, what is it with this place? Any case. But by that point, of course, it doesn't matter. You can see it in the team's smiles in the interview room. You could see it in the way they were jumping around after the game. You could see it in the way they went over to the Cal fans who were there representing. That was a huge breakthrough moment for this team. It may not have been pretty. Tedford just said it was ugly. It was not pretty. He said five different ways that he's going to have plenty to go back at this team about when they're watching it on film, but the emotion of the win will stick with them, and that's why this is big. It's not just a, we got it back. I think this is going to mean a lot to this team, and I think they're going to play a lot harder for the rest of the season because of it. And that's my finishing point, no more asides. So, I want to thank everyone who listened through all of this. I give you a present here at the end, and then I do have interview quotes. There's actually potentially a lot of people here. I'm not sure how many I'll get, so I won't list off the names now, but I will have an intro before each one saying who it is before they get started. So stay tuned for those. Thank you for listening to me ramble on my ride home, and go Bears.
On the road again.
Here are quotes from head coach Jeff Tedford.
Yeah, it was great for this team to respond and keep answering. It wasn't pretty by any means, but you know, when you run into games like this, it's really important for people to dig down deep and believe in each other. And I thought that was evident today with our team, that they kept battling, never got down, never gave up, and did a nice job of finishing the game. Well, it was defense. Now we got to get. There was still plenty of time left, and so don't worry, defense. We'll get it back. And so it, you know, and that's something we've been preaching. We got each other's back. You know, if we make a mistake in one phase of the game, we got to make up for it somewhere else to respond. And defense responded by getting the ball back, and then great drive coming down the field, even after getting another 15-yard penalty or, you know, whatever. It seemed like we were in long yard situations, a lot of penalties today. And but to recover from that, you know, that was another thing right there in that drive that was another setback. And, you know, the guys just kept playing, and Kevin stayed poised, did a nice job. He showed what I really know what Kevin's made of, and he's a great competitor. And, you know, he proved it there. You know, he was harassed all day long by their pass rush, but just kept hanging in there, was smart with the football as far as throwing the ball away down the stretch there, utilizing the clock, running the great two-minute drill, and, you know, he played his heart out today. I think any time you can put something like that in the memory bank, you can always draw from those experiences to have confidence. And so it was, you know, it was a great drive for him and for us as a team. And you know, I'm happy for Giorgio that Giorgio came in and kicked that, you know, because, you know, you really feel bad for a kid who you know, the game's on the line, and so I was happy that he came back and knocked it through. Yeah, I mean, we did. We talked about that after the first one. Was there's a lot of football left. I said, what does that mean? He said, it means there's a lot of football left, and hang in there, be ready for the next one. Within 55 yards, because he hit the 51 pretty good. So, you know, it was, he got plenty of leg. You know, there's no doubt about that. He hit those balls clean. They were just wide right. Well, when we first ran, I thought that's a touchdown in the beginning. And then when I saw it come wobbling out of there, people started closing in on it, and I held my breath a little bit. But right initially, it was wide open, and it looked like it slipped out of his hands or something. But we ran a play earlier where play before where it was downhill and they're all up in there and Anthony broke clean, but for whatever reason I don't think Shane had a real good grip on the ball. No, it's an extra point. You know, I mean, it's you're going to put the kicker in the best situation to be successful. Put the ball right in the middle. Let the clock run down. It's going to let it run all the way down to three, but they called their last timeout, which is now puts them in a situation trying to come back with no timeout. So, no, there was no way we were going to throw the ball in there and have something happen, stop the clock or anything like that. Well, I don't know. Again, I have to look at it. Some of those things were on the other side of the field, so I couldn't tell. But I think they call it both ways, you know, and so I think it's good to call a tight game, but I think a couple of ours may have been some retaliation at the end. You know, they always catch a second guy, and we need to be smarter than that. Can't do that. And so, but it wasn't just that. You know, we got a holding. We had some illegal procedure penalties, you know, so we definitely need to address that. We knew going into this game it was going to be like that. You know, I didn't think that they'd be able to run the ball as effectively as they did early. I think early in the game, I think we kind of slowed the run down. But in the second half, I thought they were having their way a little bit in the run game. And, I knew coming in that we needed to try to stay a little bit patient in the run game because they're number one defense in the conference, you know, rush defense. Big. It was great to see a guy like that come in, a guy who works so hard in practice. You know, you get guys who come out every day, work their tail off in practice, and, you know, they don't get much game time. And so to be able to come in and catch some really key passes and get whacked pretty good in there, he took a couple nice hits and hung on to the football. I was really happy for him. He got hurt in the last drive. I don't know, I wouldn't say hurt. He did something where he was limping. And so we needed to get him out of the game. And that's when I don't know if Shane finished the game. Shane might have finished that drive. I'm not sure if Java came back in or not. Well, we moved the pocket a little bit. There was one, you know, we're in such long yardage situations. We tried to change protection up a little bit. Max protected a couple times. To try to just use protection variations, so that, you know, and so to try to keep them off rhythm where they just couldn't dial in on what we were doing. Like the one, the completion to Marv was a different protection, but then the one that they said he fumbled way back when we hit the field goal, I think it was. But tried to move the pocket just a tad, you know, doing some things. The one that Nyan caught on the far side on the left, that was a boot protection, so we tried to mix it up a little bit. No, I think this first one where he ran the ball, you got hit right on the helmet, right on the ball. So, you know, you'd like for him to hang on to it, but you can understand how that happens. And then the one down in the end zone, he was just getting ready to throw it, and somebody hit his arm. So I'd have to look at that to see if it really was a fumble, but he thought that he was throwing the ball. But, you know, so that wasn't, and then he got stripped from behind once where he didn't see the guy. And that's unusual for Kevin because he really does a nice job of keeping two hands on the ball even when he scrambles. And he let the other hand come off the ball that time, and whoosh, they got him. He just made that one. I'm real confident. it's still going to be competitive. You all know week to week when you ask me during the week. And I say, today it was truly a game time situation. Whoever kicked best in pregame, that's who was our kicker. Last night I couldn't have told you who was our kicker. Yeah. You know, so we were going to come out in pregame today and let him kick and see how it went. And Coach Alomar felt like Giorgio kicked the best in pregame.
What did he do in pregame? Accuracy or length?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, they both had a lot of distance, but he was more accurate. He hit more in pregame. Well, that's, you know, I actually didn't even think about that until somebody mentioned it in there. But yeah, it's great to, you know, we're 6-2, played again on the road, tough team. You know, in this conference, you know, it's going to be a battle every week. And it's great to be bowl eligible, but that really doesn't mean anything. We, you know, we need to continue to strive to play better and reach our full potential, and we will continue to do that. But this win, the way it happened, we haven't had one of these. And so I think this is, we preach it all the time, but sometimes you don't come up with the opportunity to carry through with it. And today, all the things that we preach and we talk about as a team, we got to experience. And so it was a great win for us today. Not a pretty win, but a great win because of the way that the kids hung in there and did their jobs. Well, I had confidence all the way that we would reverse fields. We ran into a couple buzzsaws and didn't play our best early in the year. And so, I think everybody understands Oregon's a top 10 team, and so is USC. But I think it's a mark of the character on this team and the togetherness on this team to bounce back. And because really, to be honest, there was a lot of people off the bandwagon, and the only people we could really trust and believe in was ourselves. And so I think that was something that the kids have really, really taken to heart. And so it wasn't that we ever lost confidence in our kids.
On the road again. Here are quotes from quarterback Kevin Riley.
Just get down there and get another chance at getting the zone score, touchdown, or a field goal. We weren't having success second half, really moving the ball. I know we had a couple plays, but got pushed back on penalties and things like that, put ourselves in tough situations. But the drive right before that, we made some big plays, that got us down there getting a field goal position. So, I knew we could do it again, and people stepped up all around, blocked well, made plays all over the place, and it was a great team effort, and it was great to see Georgia hit that in to win. I think this is the success we had the drive previous to that, and then, this, you guys seen it on clutch every Wednesday. I mean, we have clutch drills every Wednesday, and then, it's something we're just used to doing. We do it so much, and it's not an uncommon thing we could do. Coach Ludd has talked about putting in, like, this mid-game. I'm just trying a few series there because we do a good job at it. And like I said, it's people made plays all around. Yeah, absolutely. When we missed that field goal before, it's not like, oh, yes, I'm excited to do this again. No. it's just, you got to step up to it. I mean, it's just something you can't dwindle away from it. And it's just great to see our team to step up like that and get a win. It's huge. One, and I kind of messed that up. So. No, it's okay.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, given how long you've been a quarterback, it's unusual. You haven't had that many situations where you're driving the field to win the game.
Exactly. We've had a couple situations at halftime, clutch, trying to get score a touchdown, like UCLA and Maryland the first game. And that was like a halftime clutch, which is the same thing pretty much, except, more's on the line, winning or losing. But we practice it every week. It's something that's not uncommon to us, and we do a good job. It's pretty important. It's something that you just think about. You can think about this kind of when you're in that situation, kind of cut it down, give yourself a chance on third down and try and get like third and five, things like that. But, just scrambled and Marv popped and made the catch and got extra yards first. It's huge. I mean, that's something, like I said, at Minnesota, it was a little different here because we actually fell behind.
Right.
And, like I said, when I've been here, we haven't had very many successes when we've come back from points behind and came back and won. And I think it just gives our team that much more confidence to trust each other and just make plays. I told them before the play, I go, Shane, be smart. if he doesn't look anything open at all, throw it over the goalpost. And I might have gotten his head a little bit because I think he hesitated on the throw and he was semi-open. But he put it in a good spot where only Anthony could catch it. And it's just something we worked on, and it was a good spot to run it at. And I was trying to run over there and make the catch, but it's a little late. I was close, though. I went over to Tuck, and I said, hey, next play is going to be a deep ball, so be ready. It's coming to you. And I think he's just a little down because he knew he should have caught it. But things like that happen. I fumbled on a 3-yard line. I can't do that. I gave him the first touchdown and gave Arizona State some momentum. And like I said, first half, I got to be better with the ball. Those things happen. You don't like them to happen, but they do, and you just got to tell them, get back up. And, late in the game, he caught that last pass for a slant for a first down, put us in a better field goal situation, so he stepped out. It's not good, but it's nice to see us win ugly.
Right.
And it's something we haven't done very well, we did win ugly. We had the first two drives were real nice. Besides that, we moved the ball, but we didn't finish. We got to do a better job finishing because we had some chances. But I'm proud of this offense. Everybody did great. I'm a pretty confident guy, so I don't think it's going to fit my confidence any higher. But, this feels good. The teammates trusted me to go out there, get them in a position to win. And you know, everybody had faith in me, and they're like, right, let's go. And I had faith in myself in the offense, and we did it. So the first one is put myself in this tough situation. You know, I probably should have went down with it, but I tried to get a few extra yards. And one guy was on my leg, and you know, the guy just gave me a good shot. And I wasn't holding the ball real well; it was kind of sticking out. And he hit the ball in me, and I fumbled the. The next one, I stepped up in the pocket, and I saw a drag route. So I was getting ready to throw. So I had it down here, and I was bringing it up, and the guy chopped my arm. Those things happen. I got to just hold the ball a little bit stronger, going up in the pocket. And the third one, it was during a throw, and he just poked it out when I was throwing. So, I mean, things happen, but I could do a better job of holding on the ball. On the road
again. I was praying for it. You know, something inside me just told me that I knew I was going to get another chance. So I just started to stay focused, and I really appreciate, you know, everyone being supportive of me, you know, because I went off the sideline, and people still, you know, hey, don't worry about it. So, you know, I really appreciate that. And again, there was just something deep inside me that was like, hey, man, you're going to get another chance. So I just try to stay focused. I mean, I was like, oh, you know, I've been here before, you know, just kick the ball. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not rocket science, you know. And I figured, you know, that obviously we needed the field goal. So I said, all right, well, we kind of need this one, so I'm going to have to make it. So just jogging out there, I was just, you know, just focused, concentrated, and I felt pretty good, you know, because just being in the moment is just awesome. It was a very, I feel very, very blessed to have been able to win the game at the end. Well, you know, obviously that was, a show of Coach Sedford's confidence in me. So, you know, I really appreciate that. And actually in practice, we do that all the time. We have, you know, drills, like, you know, like a 2-minute drill, minute, 30 seconds, whatever. And I mean, even if we have like second, third down, we'll always move the ball in the middle of the field because it just, I guess, gives a better angle, you know. So, yeah. And also, being that kind of close to a field goal, I guess, if I would have had to take it from the hash, it would have been kind of a harsh angle. So, you know, again, I appreciate the love from Coach Sedford on that one. Fine. I mean, it feels great. You know, really, again, it's a blessing to be able to be on this team. It's a blessing to be able to be out there. And, you know, the best feeling for me is, you know, after I make a good kick or, you know, field goal deep or like a good kickoff, whatever, and I walk to the sideline, everyone's smiling, you know. Because, you know, I really love this team. You know, I love this program. I love the school. So that's just the greatest feeling. You know, it's great to be able to help the team out, especially, you know, on a day like today. Yeah, it was. You know, I mentally I kind of prepared, you know, for I guess for both scenarios, you know, I figured, you know, I might be kicking, I might not, but, you know, if I were, I needed to be focused. So just going through all the scenarios in my mind, you know, I figured I'd be out there. So I tried to prepare for that. It feels great, you know, obviously, you know, for me, I've always had good kicks, but then it's always like one or two that I just really want back. So today I felt like I put a complete kickoff game together. You know, they're all around the 4 to 5, and, you know, that's how I want to be every game, you know, and that's how it should be every game because that's how it is in practice very, very often. So, again, it feels great because that really helps the team out in terms of field position and stuff. And also, you know, as a kicker coming to Arizona, you figured altitude, so that kind of just put all the doubts away and, you know, I guess helped me with my confidence a little bit because, you know, I figured, you know, as long as I hit the ball solid, it's going to go down at least to the 5. So. Actually, you know, my mentality, I guess before I go to field goal, I really don't remember how far it is, you know. If you asked me where I kicked them from today, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you exactly. So for me, it was just focusing on the kick, you know, no matter close, far, whatever. You know, I knew my team needed me, so I tried to just focus on the kick itself and not about, you know, kind of everything else, you know, the crowd, the fans, the, you know, distance and everything. Brock is a great holder. You know, every time I get down there, I say, thanks for holding, buddy, because I really appreciate it, because I'm sure, you know, it's, I mean, he didn't grow up wanting to hold the ball, and he was spot on today. You know, he was perfect. You know, all the holds were great, and, you know, again, just now I thanked him again, like, 10 times, because he just put that one down, you know, and he had two tough ones today. I remember one of them might have been a little high, and, I mean, he had to adjust really quickly, and he was just spot on today. He was perfect. Never in my career, not even in high school.
Not even in high school.
Soccer.
Have you played soccer?
No. Yeah. Soccer, I've never had, like, a game-winning or like a penalty kick or anything at the end.
Nothing
I can't believe. Every night. You know, because again, for me, I feel really involved in this team, and, you know, again, the kicker's greatest dream is just game winning field goal. So that's, you know.
So
I'm
did
great.
It match up to the dream?
Oh, it felt 10 times better. It was a blessing today, really. I'm so happy. Well, you know, dream is always, you know, like 55, 55. Just, you know,
I thought you just said you don't pay attention.
Well, I don't when I'm in reality, but my dream is, you know, why not? 6-yard field goal, I love it. I think he did. You know, he said, just stay focused, you know, don't worry about it, we're going to get one at the end, you know. And, I mean,
I kind of fed off that confidence, you know, because I mean, even though I missed, I was like, hey, we're gonna get another one, you know, and I was like, all right, so I guess we get another one and we'll stay focused on the game. So that definitely helped me a lot. On the road
again. Here are quotes from defensive coordinator Bob Gregory.
Yeah, and that was a big series for us. The kids knew they had to stop the run. And it was a little scary there. Kind of fell forward a little bit. But they were great. I mean, all game, those guys were very focused on what they had to do. Unfortunately, we gave up, you know, a long touchdown pass, but those guys played hard every down. Well, no, we had a couple. I think we got a little fatigued. It was in the second half. I think we got a little fatigued, and we weren't striking like we were striking earlier in the game. A couple guys got out of their gaps. I think overall we played the run pretty good. We can't give up those long plays. You know, in close games, those can hurt you. So we got to get better at that. There's no question. I felt good about getting turnovers, which we didn't last week. I felt good about how we played the run. Just can't give up the long pass. Yeah, we're in it too deep, and you know, probably the best call in the world, and that it was first down, and we're taking a shot because they had. They'd run it first down a little bit, so if you're getting too deep, it was play action pass, and we lost our middle runner, a linebacker, and we also lost a backside safety on the play action pass. So they kind of jumped the run a little bit quick as opposed to playing back a little bit. So combination of not great technique and combination of probably I could have had a better call first down.
Yeah, obviously been changing things up at that corner.
Yeah, I think Sean played good. I thought Josh had a better game. He was more so Josh Hill. And it was very good to see Chris contact. Chris did some good things today out there at corner as well. Yeah, I think that's part of it. Anytime you're not afraid to play other guys, I think that creates the urgency, as you said, and I think it also pushes those guys to continue to work hard and practice. And plus, I think we need to continue to play a lot of guys. I don't think we want to play just four guys. We need to play more than that. On the road
again. Here are quotes from cornerback Josh Hill.
Yeah, I feel like I did a lot better from last week. I just went into the game, just trying to focus on my technique and just do the best I can to help my team win. I mean, I almost didn't see him because it happened so quick, and I just saw him bounce outside, so I just reacted and had to go out there and tackle him. Oh, yeah, I didn't think he was that close to the first down, really, so I knew I was going to make the tackle. I wasn't really tripping about that. I feel like I play well. I can always play better. So just got to keep getting better game by game, and I'll be okay. Man, it's crazy. You just got to stay focused, the main thing. You just got to continue to get better and just forget about the bad things and forget about the good things even. Just stay getting better. Really, we just try to stay focused. Don't get too mad about the offense. Just make sure we do our thing. And lineman assignment we always talk about, and we know we'll be okay. We're trying to get more excited than nervous. We're just trying to bring everybody together and just do what we have to do so we can get off the field. That was real great, really. No worries, no crazy things that can happen. Just end the game like we're supposed to. So. I'm trying to figure out what we're looking at each other, looking on the sideline. We kind of knew it couldn't have been on us, so we didn't do anything. So we're just waiting on the call, and then that was it. Road again.